Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome to the Trampled Bet podcast for the weekend of Saturday, January 7th, 2023. Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Gordo.
Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year, Jerome.
Morning.
Joining us for the first show of the year, Trampled Bet co-host, regular guest, Jerome Els. It's great to have you back, Jerome. Bad result for you last night, being a big Crystal Palace fan, but, you know, it can only get better from here in 2023.
First time ever in my life, I left 6 minutes early. Ooh. I was just so sad.
These were so good in the first half as well. That was the thing. It's like you'd been great and then come out in the second half and Spurs were just like, right, it's time to take hold of this.
They just got the talk into at half time and then they just destroyed us.
There was some mental stat that came up when it got to like 45 minutes just before the halftime whistle went, that Spurs had something like 2 touches in the opponent's third and 0 touches in the opponent's box or something.
That is insane.
It was mental. It was something like they just weren't in that game. And then, of course, Harry Kane just did his thing, got a brace pretty early in the second half.
When you watch us yesterday and you're like, what are we trying to do? You don't know what we're trying to do. It's so hard right now. It's a hard watch.
Yeah.
Don't worry, you'll comfortably beat Liverpool in a couple of weeks anyway. That's Crystal Palace's MO. It's just like, as soon as they're playing teams from London, like, shut her down. We're not gonna bother. And then they have to play anyone from, like, the North. Like, right, fuck them.
Yeah.
That's it, back to doing this.
We pray.
Yeah, well, can only get better, as I say. Welcome back to all our listeners. Hope everyone's had a relaxing Christmas and New Year break, and hopefully a lot of you enjoyed our World Cup show, where we did very, very well indeed. Myself and Dave Greenfield with our predictions of Argentina to win the World Cup at odds of 6-1, 11-2. I certainly had plenty on it. And I rebacked them when they lost their opening game against Saudi Arabia and went up to 17-2. Because, you know, you can lose a game in the group stages and it's fine, especially if you're Argentina. So that's now 2 out of 2. For the major international football tournaments at the Trampled Bet after nailing Italy at 12-1 for the last Euros. So a fantastic result. I know that, Gordo, you didn't agree with us on the Argentina win, but you picked up stuff elsewhere. So it was pretty much a great World Cup all round.
Yeah, I mean, that was you boys all widely panned Belgium being any good. And you were very right there. They were absolutely rank rotten. And Adam Mbappe is top goal scorer. Even had some interest with some of the... I mean, when we did the World Cup pod, we basically got, right, France will get to the final. It's just who of Brazil or Argentina are going to meet
them. We did it again. We basically predicted the tournament because we were all in agreement that it would be either, well, myself and Dave with Argentina, you and Joey with Brazil against France in the final. Yeah. And I know Dave backed an Argentina France final exactly. I had quite a bit of money on just Argentina straight up to win. I don't cash out generally, and I didn't cash out, but I did stick a couple hundred quid on France to win the World Cup when they went 2-0 down in the final. Just so if something awful happened, I would be fine. And then of course when they equalised and it went to 2-2, I was sitting watching it going, oh, this isn't that bad.
Yeah, that's it. You covered the nuclear option. That's good. So,
what did the cash out get to when they got to 2-2 for France?
I have no idea. I just put the phone in the pocket. I was out drinking. I was in a castle at like a pal's 50th birthday.
Oh yeah.
In one of the rooms, like pints were flowing, free bar. I was like, you know what? I did that couple of hundred just on France, like big odds.
And then basically you don't care, do you?
And then I didn't care. Yeah. And, and while there were big odds, it still wasn't enough that I didn't want Argentina to win. So,
yeah. I like Jerome's thinking here, because I'm pretty sure he was thinking about what is the maximum return you could have got.
I could have got if I cashed out the right
one. France on, like,
you can do like a mega, okay, France aren't going to win, but I'll take it, bang, and then carry on. Yeah.
Jerome, when France equalized, would you have been confident France weren't going to win?
No. 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 And they had the chance to win it in the last minute, didn't they?
Yeah,
that would be brutal, man. But it was,
that was Mbappe running through instead. They win the World Cup.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Martinez.
Maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Martinez, what a great save. But, I mean, we could talk about the World Cup forever.
Best World Cup final that I've seen, certainly.
I think, and it's the best one. It's the best one I've seen, and I think the best
final I think I've seen.
As well.
Apart from maybe the 1991 Scottish Cup final between Motherwell and Dundee United.
Yeah.
But, you know, we don't talk about that because Dundee United lost it. I think that was our sixth
ever.
I thought it was wonderful. Okay,
I enjoyed it.
You can say what you like about the political aspect of it, and it probably shouldn't. Well, let's just say it shouldn't have been held in Qatar, with all the problems that went along with that for the fan experience and people getting there and feeling comfortable there, etc., etc. But in terms of just the games themselves, I thought it was wonderful.
I felt that I wouldn't mind if World Cups were in the winter again. I didn't think I minded. Yeah.
I quite liked that as well.
Liked it, but maybe that's just because of the time zone it was in. If that was 8 hours behind and held in the USA, for instance, would it have been as good in the winter?
Yeah, maybe. That three games a day starting at 10:30.
Four games a day starting at 10 a.m.
10 a.m.
Wonderful.
Was like having a cup of coffee. It was a little pick-me-up for work. It's just like, there's football on. Football I care about. There's more football on. And it just goes on forever. But
I didn't think I'd watch many games beforehand, but anytime I was free, I watched a game. And
What was your favourite game of the World Cup? Do you think, excluding the final? Because I've got some ones up there that I thought were spectacular.
Definitely Gordon.
Argentina-Holland.
Yes.
See, Argentina-Holland was good. I was going to go Brazil-Croatia because of how, like, Croatia were just out of it.
Japan-Germany.
Japan-Germany as well. And there's
to be up
Saudi Arabia-Argentina as well, actually, I suppose. I watched.
I didn't feel great watching that with the amount of money. Argentina to win the tournament.
No, it was incredible, though. But obviously, this week, we're back doing podcasts and picks. But obviously, Andy, you're going to, I'd imagine you'll talk a little bit about Predictor and various different things. But
I will do.
The slate that we have got to pick from this week, we were all discussing, is almost like Christmas Day fixtures. You know, when you're looking
lovely
at like...
Lovely week to come back to, eh? Yeah. Lovely week.
Yeah. Yeah, straight into the old
Albanian third division for my charity.
Yeah, it's quite the brutal slate. Before we talk about that though, there is a couple of congratulations from the World Cup. I run a predictor contest every major football tournament, and this year it was won by Alan Kerr. So there was just under 50 of us, I think, playing this year. And it predicted the whole tournament from start to finish. And he had Argentina winning it. He had Croatia coming third. He just did so well and kept gaining and gaining and gaining on Wayne Oxley, who'd been top since basically the group stages, and getting Argentina right. He pipped him 101 points to Wayne's 100 points. So congratulations, Alan. Congratulations, Wayne. Gordon, you and I came fifth. You came tied sixth. That's very respectable. For a 50 player tournament to have, you know, the two main hosts here right up at the very top, so we know what we're talking about.
Aye, I was up there. I mean, I had Belgium get to the third place game, but that
was probably your undoing. Mine was Ecuador. Ecuador make it through instead of Senegal, and I probably win that thing.
You text me during it saying, "I think Ecuador will be my downfall."
At the time when they lost to Senegal in the third group game,
yeah,
I knew it. I knew that would cost me. Oh, man. I can't wait to get an Ecuador strip for next Christmas. be brilliant.
Looked out already, mate. Don't worry about it.
So yeah, so that's the World Cup. Brilliant final. Great result for the Trampled Bet podcast again. So really hope that some of our listeners got on that and as a result had a great Christmas and New Year. We talked about brilliant World Cup final, but what a final in the darts. I don't know if anyone watched that between Michael Smith and Michael Van Gerwen just a couple of days ago now. Holy hell. There was a leg where they were both on 9 darts and Michael Van Gerwen missed double 12 for his 9 darter and Smith just came up and took out the 1-4-1 for his straight after. Absolutely incredible. You'll never see that again.
The standard was unreal.
The standard was so good. And I backed Michael Smith in loads of worlds, and I didn't do it this year because it's just a continual money drain. And yeah, there he was, stepped up to the plate and won the PDC World Darts Championship.
Well, he's got you to thank, isn't he?
Yeah, he does. Absolutely, he does. He's got me to thank for that because I was always doing it. Like, but Barney, because I just love Raymond Van Barneveld, right? But that's just throwaway money. That's a cheap little thing just because it's Raymond, and I think he's wonderful. But yeah, always Michael Smith, and yet didn't do it this year. And here he was, boom, winning the thing. But wonderful. But
you know how good that final was because they were even showing highlights, which they would never do on like GMB. Why would they show shots on that?
Yeah,
but you know it was that good.
Exactly, it was so good, but with the end of that and the conclusion of that, that means Christmas is over. Like, I know people say it's like the 6th of January, the 12th day of Christmas or something. No, it's the day after the darts is done. That's it.
Christmas over. Like,
Christmas over, and we're into the new year, and we do have that slate for this weekend that we've all gone through, and we'll do our usual banker, value, outsider, and charity bets. But my God. Like, there's no Danish fixtures, there's no Japanese fixtures, there's no German fixtures. And in, you know, the top divisions in England, there's none of that because it's FA Cup weekend. So it's essentially the very worst weekend for me to come back and try and pick winners soon. So I'm just going to preface it with that.
You're going to get your all out of your system now and then go 4-for-4. That's what it's about. You've got no bias in these leagues you're looking at, and you're just getting... So,
absolutely. So
it's a pure week.
It is.
We're going to head to our ad break. You obviously don't get the ad break if you're a member of our Trampled Bet Club on Patreon. So if you go to www.patreon.com/trampledbet or search Trampled Bet Podcast on the Patreon app on your phone, you can sign up to be a member of the Trampled Bet Club. It's about £6 a month. Thank you to everyone that's a member. It really helps keep this podcast going, helps cover our cost, you know, gives us some confidence that we're not just talking into the void as well. And it's great to have members in there keeping us going as a going concern. So perhaps if you want some money at the World Cup and we help with that, you might consider signing up. You don't get the ad break. You get this as a video show that's released early, and you also get a whole host of extras, like the cheat sheet, which is all the picks written down. So we shall see everyone after this short break.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Welcome back, and now on to our picks for the first show of the year, Saturday, January 7th, 2023. Even at the top of my notes here, I'm reading them off the screen, I've written 2022, so it's a good start. I'll be doing that for a few months. But, you know, like the professional host I am, I noticed and said 2023 out loud, and then undid all that good work by going back and mentioning it.
Nice. That's the good. That's the comedic way to do it.
That's it. That's the solid way. So, as usual, long-term listeners of the show will know you'll get a pick from each of us across three different categories: the banker bet, the value bet, and the outsider bet. And then to round it all off, you'll get one pick from each of us that we will combine as a treble for our charity bet. And should all three picks come in, any returns that we get will go to a charity of our choosing that we will announce next week. So it'd be great to get 2023 off to a good start with the main picks, but also a wee charity winner in there. So we'll be doing our best for that. Albeit, the slate of games to pick from is not ideal, especially if you're me and all your footballing knowledge tends to happen in Japan, Denmark, and Germany. Yeah, and also the UK, in fairness, although the UK card is all over the shop because it's FA Cup weekend. So here we go. I'm maybe in a couple of leagues that I'm not used to. And for my banker, it's Sunday at 6 p.m. in Portugal, in the Liga Portugal. I could probably not in here very often. If you went back through the hundreds of shows you've done, you'll be hard-pressed to find me in the Portuguese leagues. But it's Maritimo versus Sporting, and the away win for Sporting is 2-5. So almost up there at 1-2. They're in fourth place on 28 points from 14 games, and they travel to second bottom Maritimo, who have managed just 7 points from their 14 games. Form-wise, Sporting have collected 12 points from the last 5 matches, so one of the form teams in the league. Maritimo have managed the 6 points. The sides met in December in the League Cup. Sporting ran out 5-0 winners. Paulinho scored a hat-trick basically in the first half hour. They're just so much stronger than Maritimo. Maritimo's last 7 home matches have been 5 defeats and 2 draws. So really, Sporting should just overpower them. Far too strong. And at 2-5, that's quite high banker odds for me. So pretty confident with this one, even though I'm in a league that I don't normally venture into.
I like it very much. I mean, I'm in Portugal a bit this week as well, but for my banker, I'll give you another 2-5 shot. And this is Napoli away at Sampdoria. So all of my games are on Sunday. And this is the last of my games. So this is a 5 p.m. game. Sampdoria versus Napoli. Napoli top of the league, 41 points. Sampdoria third bottom, 9 points taken. They did get a win against Sassuolo just after Christmas there, but Sassuolo were all over them for most. I actually watched most of that game with their not knowing what day it is between Christmas and New Year and just being like, oh, there's football on at 11:30 in the morning. I really like Napoli here. They did not do well against Inter on their first game back. They lost 1-0. They had more of the ball. They were pretty... They did the opposite of what they've been doing before Christmas. They tend to be grinding out 1-0 wins or dominating teams. Grinding out 1-0 wins against the bigger teams. They lost against Inter there. You had much more of the ball. The game turned into a bit of a fight. There was hundreds of bookings, various different, a very Italian way to come back into the new year. But I really like Napoli here. They'll be far too strong for Sampdoria. Sampdoria had a decent Christmas break, which is with regards to friendlies, which is why you're getting an elevated price. Again, later on in the season, this drops off right to the kind of stupid odds you wouldn't go near. But at 2-5, I'm happy to take a bite out of Napoli this week. So that's Sunday, 5 p.m., Napoli away at Sampdoria. Jerome, what have you got banker-wise?
I've gone for probably the highest odds I would ever, ever choose, but it's Tottenham at home to Portsmouth in the FA Cup, 1-8. And I've seen Tottenham play. They're going to win the league, but that's the only reason they beat Palace, by the way. But yeah, 1-8 at home against Portsmouth, who Portsmouth absolutely do not want to do well in the FA Cup. They want to just try and get promoted from League One. So no matter what side Spurs put out, Portsmouth are going to put out a useless team to not care about this. So 1-8. Absolute stone cold banker, stone cold.
It's the smallest price I think I've ever been brought to the podcast.
Is it? Is it? It probably is. Banker wise, I think 1-8 is, which means you cannot lose this one.
If you lose this one,
it just can't be done. At 1-8, like, that has to be.
This was. Let me get back in the pod. Bang! this is coming in. This is 1-4. That's it. In.
It's a guaranteed. You know, we'll maybe pop it in our host's chat and see what Dave Greenfield thinks about that.
Aye. I'm looking forward to it. But Jerome had a very conservative start to this.
Paid out after 14 minutes.
Aye.
There we go. That's what we want to happen there. Yes. Boom, 2-0, Bet365 have paid it out. Everybody's happy.
Booster in your ACCA. You get some boost. That's what
exactly.
It is.
Exactly. So if you fancy those bankers combining them all together, so that's Sporting, Napoli and Tottenham Hotspur, 1.2-1, which is pretty good for something that's got a 1-8 shot in it. You know, get that leg in, and then you've got the 2-5 shots. So over even money for the banker treble this week. On to the value picks, and this is where we like to try and find something we think's got a really good shot of coming in that perhaps is better chances than the bookies have priced them up at. Tend to be around even money, although mine is slightly less this week. Again, Jerome, I'm following sort of your theory of coming in and just getting something you're more certain of.
Yeah.
Just to kick off 2023. So my value is Saturday at 3 p.m. in the Scottish Premiership, and it's Aberdeen versus St Johnstone. Despite a couple of poor recent results, Aberdeen are still fourth in the Premiership table with 26 points from 20 matches. St Johnstone not far behind, despite being in seventh place. They're only 2 points back with 24 points from their 20 matches. Now, I've watched the Aberdeen highlights from their last couple of games. I was obviously at Dundee United versus St Johnstone at St Johnstone last week as well. So the two teams I know pretty well. Aberdeen, in their last few matches, have done more than enough to win each of them. They've had way more of the ball and the better chances away against St Mirren, despite getting a man sent off in the 35th minute. It's a game they scored early, got a man sent off after 35 minutes, and went on to lose narrowly 2-1, playing basically the majority of the game with 10 men. Even though the stats, you couldn't tell they only had 10 men. They had more possession for the entire game, even with a man down, and more shots than St Mirren. And then last weekend, they drew 0-0 with Ross County in a game that they absolutely dominated. 23 shots, 6 on target to County's 7 shots, 1 on target. And of course, the game ended 0-0. St Johnstone, I didn't think they were that up to much. Honestly, Dundee United beat them 1-0 at the weekend there at home in Perth. So at home for St Johnstone. And United were the better team in the first half, despite being away from home. St Johnstone, probably, you know, they could make the argument they edged the second half, but United got the goal. So I don't think they're up to too much. And I just think Aberdeen need one little thing to go right for them, and they could dish out a serious hammering to someone. And this might be that game. So a home win for Aberdeen here is odds of 3-4. And I just don't think they can keep being as unlucky. If they play like they did the last few matches, things are going to turn for them. And I think 3-4 is a good price for a home win. So my value pick is Aberdeen.
3-4, that's fine. I'll take you to much higher odds for my value pick, and a pick that I can't understand at the moment. And I, you know, you ever look at a game and then start to look at like transfers and be like, maybe they've signed someone, or maybe they've done something, or like
injuries. It's injuries.
But maybe, I had a look at injuries.
So and so is off. Yeah,
I had a look at the injuries. Maybe Jerome were talking about it earlier on. I was saying to him, I was like, has there been financial fair play? Have they been deducted points or something? Like, I don't know what's happened. Anyway, the game I'm referring to is at 3:30 on Sunday. This is Pacos Ferreira versus Chaves in the Liga Portugal. And I like Chaves away at 17-11. Now, you were talking about Maritimo being shit. Pacos Ferreira have played 14 games and have taken 2 points.
Awful.
They've scored 7 goals, conceded 29. Chaves have got 19 points. Their form in the last 5 games is 0 points taken, 1 goal scored, 12 conceded. Chaves have been who they're playing against have been grinding out results against people. So if you have a look at their kind of overall standings of recent, they got a result against Braga, they got a result against Casapia. They've been taking points here. They and the form table have taken 7 points from the last 5 games. This is a bet against Pacos Ferreira. I can't understand why you're getting them at 17-11. Do they think that maybe they'll just be better after Christmas? I cannot understand how you could be pricing this in a way that would put you know, around the same money on two of these teams. Taking an average of 1 point every seven games isn't great. So I'm going to take Chavez away at 17 to 11. Jerome?
All these odds, it has to be just because of a break. That's why.
Yeah.
And they think they're going to come back rusty because there's no way that that... Do you not,
come back rusty? They only fucking took 2 points in 14 games. There was rust on them for the first half of the season.
Yeah, but they're praying that they've forgotten how to play.
Yeah, that's it. God. Maybe they're planning on the Chavez bus breaking down or something. They have to play fans. Even then, the fans would be more up for it. So what have you got, value-wise?
I'm staying in the Portuguese league. One that I love. I always bet in the Portuguese league. Yeah. However you pronounce it, Guimarães
was right. Yeah.
Guimarães at home to Rio Ave. And I've gone for their evens. So it's not a shithouse value. It evens. Guimarães at home, and they're very, very strong at home. They're both together in the league, 6 and 7 in the league, 23 points against 19. But their home form, I think, it just carries them through. They don't concede many at home. So I like them at home at evens against Rio Ave.
I looked at this game as well. This was one of the ones that I'd have been tempted to on if I was going to try and put something else into the middle section. But I think it's a good pick.
Yeah, I looked at the Chavez pick that you had, Gordon, as well. Uh-huh. And then obviously you were the first to post your potential picks in the chat. So I swiftly moved on to something else. But yeah, I like them. I like these picks. And if you wanted to combine the three value picks, so Aberdeen, Chavez, and Guimarães, 7.5 to 1, which is pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
For a value treble for the weekend. So 7.5 to 1 at Bet365 currently. Okay,
doing both of those. Love that.
Yeah, for sure. On to the outsiders, a section of the show that historically, in the first half of the season, we've been very, very good at. Would you think this was our best section, Gordon, in terms of probably returns?
I think returns wise, it has to be. It's certainly not the charity. I know that. So, I think it is, and we've been quite good at skirting around and finding some real value in the outsider section. But yeah, hopefully the second half of the season's as good as that. Outsiders are harder in the second half of the season than they are in the first. You've got more handle on form. The bookies price them better. First couple of weeks is great when the bookies haven't even paid attention to some of the leagues.
Yeah. So the outsider slot is where we try and find something the bookies have priced up as an underdog that we think has a decent chance of coming in. And as a result, you get some pretty big prices, especially when combining them. I tend to take them as a tricksy, so that 2 out of 3, the old meatloaf, if 2 out of 3 come in, then that ain't
bad.
Won't
be bad,
and, you're all good.
For outsider, I like going wild. I go real outsider. Let's get the lot. That's my theory on outsider.
Yeah, that's it. Back 8 let's cards go. as part of
let's go big. Can't wait for Jerome's scorecast. Wonderful. but for me, and this was the early game I was talking about in the Patreon middle section. This is the early game of the weekend for me. Friday at 7:45 PM in the Belgian Jupiler Pro League for Standard Liège versus St. Truiden. The away win for Truiden is 9-5, so just under 2-1. And after 18 matches played in this league, Liège are in 6th place with 29 points, Truiden 26 points, so only 3 points behind, although they're back in 10th place. It's the form I like here. Liège have only 2 wins, 3 draws, and 5 defeats across their last 10 games in all competitions. So a quick cursory glance at flash score, you see a lot of orange and red, not very much green. Whereas Truiden have 7 wins, 1 draw, and 2 defeats. So a lot of green in their last 10 games. So form very much with the away team here. The last time these two teams met in Liège, so with Liège being the home team, was a preseason friendly this year that Truiden won 2-0. The time before was in last season's top flight. Truiden again won, this time with a 2-1 scoreline and outsider odds of 5-2. And the time before that, the previous league season, the game at Liège between these two teams, St. Truiden also won this 2-1. so they have a history of visiting Liège and coming away with victories. The teams look equally matched, but form is with the away side. Recent head-to-head results as the away team is with the away side. So at odds of 9-5, just under 2-1, they will be my outsider for the week.
Nice one.
And just so you can find them on Bet365, TRUIDEN. And then, well, that's how you find them on Flashscore. There's an extra SE at Bet365.
Oh, early payout through Dense. Belgium leagues.
No early payout in this league.
Okay.
So you'll have to stick in there till the bitter end.
Hate doing that.
More fun. Get the blood pumping.
Okay, well, as Andy said, we've been quite good with outsiders, and I'm bringing what I would consider a very traditional outsider for me. It's a draw. This is the Serie A, Italy's top division, and this is at 2 p.m. on Sunday. This is Spezia versus Lecce, and I think a draw at 21-10 is a pretty fair result. Both teams came back from the winter break pretty refreshed and took two big scalps. Spezia, 2-2 with Atalanta. Lecce, 2-1 against Lazio. So both teams had good results coming back from there. Spezia were actually 2-0 up until about the 77th minute. They had a goal chopped off as well to make it 3-0 from Ethan Ampadu, you know, the Welsh boy, who's playing with Spezia at the moment, to make it 3-0. But they had that taken off for, I think it was an offside in there. Anyway, they were unlucky not to win that game. Pasalic goal in the 92nd minute denied them the victory there. So two teams coming out from a bit of a high there. What both teams have in common is they tend to do really well against the big teams. And then when they have to play, say, St Johnstone or Dundee United, when it comes to Hibs' kind of form, when we do these kind of things, they come undone. And when they've played against teams that are around them in the league, they tend to draw. So I think they're happy drawing with teams around them just to keep themselves afloat and try and get scalps against the big boys. The Italian league's pretty interesting at this time of year. Between 10th place and 17th place, there's 6 points. So there's a lot of content. There's a lot of competition in the midsection of this league. There's a bit of a drift down to 9th, 7th and 6th. So there's 9th, 7th and 6th in the lower parts of the league there. I think this game will end up a draw. Both teams are pretty comfortable. I think that they'd be happy with a draw as a result there. The only thing I want to note about this, and the last thing I wanted to talk about, is in Lecce's result, they had a guy called Lorenzo Colombo scoring, a guy in Italy's under-21s. He's got 4 goals in his last 5 games. These have been his only 4 goals this season, so he's starting to find a bit of footing. I think if it's a score draw, he'll probably score in there. But a draw for me in this game would be nice. It would be nice just to come back with an outsider win, 21-10. Jerome, what you got?
See, now I just feel like, what have I done?
No, not at all, mate. You started as you went to go on. You had a 1-8 shot in your banker. So if it's not an 8-1 shot and you're outsider, I'm going to be a bit disappointed here. So
my outsider is in the FA Cup. Sheffield Wednesday at home against Newcastle. 11-2 for the win for Sheffield Wednesday.
Okay, take me through it. Why?
Okay, so let me get it up. Somewhere. Sorry, 1 second.
No props.
So Sheffield Wednesday, they play in League One, and obviously Newcastle, they play in the Premier League. So at home, Sheffield Wednesday are really strong. 5-0, 2-0, a draw, 2-1, 1-0. Newcastle away, they're also strong, but what team are Newcastle going to put up? Their focus is, it has to be on trying to get a Champions League spot. So we're just hoping that they play a bit of a weaker team and there's a game of it and Sheffield Wednesday just randomly get a 1-0, 2-0.
I think you might be onto something here because Newcastle genuinely are title contenders this year and they would not want to see get Trippier injured or Bruno Guimarães injured or any of these guys really on an FA Cup. I mean, Newcastle had FA Cup runs throughout the 2010s and that was all they had. You know, just finishing seventh when Mike Ashley was in the owner. So I like the boldness.
Because there has to be narrative somewhere. There has to be a shock. So I've just I can just imagine.
You think it's Sheffield Wednesday? You think it's Sheffield Wednesday?
Yeah, at home. Good man. Really strong at home. Yeah, yeah, 11-2.
Andy, right. any comment on this? I could see him frantically pricing up things in the background.
That is exactly what I'm doing right now. Frantically pricing up things in the background because I thought the Jerome's game was going to be the Leighton Orient versus Doncaster game, but I've maybe got that wrong. So I've repriced up what's just been said there, which is St. Trudens in Belgium. A draw in the Spezia Lecce game and a Sheffield Wednesday win, which comes to a massive 53.4-1.
Oh, huge. That would huge. Be huge. Massive. You know what's happening, Andy? Yeah. That Jerome's getting his in and we're going fucking 0-2 on the outsiders after zero profit on the outsiders, the best way possible.
Well, hopefully not. But it's absolutely huge. Hopefully we get two of them in and then, three would be wonderful. But two is just
Andy revealed my charity early. That was what
said I see. So yeah. I've mucked up there.
No, I just forgot to write it. That was all.
Spoilers. I've potentially spoiled the last pick of the show, but you'll get to say why you like it at least. And people have a little bit of a teaser for the charity. So they're the three main sections: banker, value, and outsider. And as Jerome says, onto the charity picks now. So one pick from each of us. It goes down as a treble. All the returns go to a charity of our choosing that is announced should a winner come in. And for me, I'm staying in a league I know. So Saturday, 3 p.m., the Scottish Premiership. St Mirren versus Hearts. So fresh off the back of a convincing home win in the Edinburgh Derby, where they beat Hibs 3-0 last week. Hearts will come into this game with loads of confidence. They sit third in the table, obviously behind Celtic and Rangers, and they've now opened up a 5-point lead over fifth place Aberdeen. They have 31 points from 19 games. St Mirren back in fifth place with 26 points from their 18 games played. Hearts are also third in the league's form table, so third in the league. And third in the league's form table, again behind Celtic and Rangers. They've taken 11 points from a possible 15 in their last five league matches. St Mirren have managed 7 points. So St Mirren have made themselves really hard to beat under Steve Robinson, but they do draw a hell of a lot of games. Their last 10 matches have been 2 wins, 5 draws, and 3 defeats across all competitions. So Hearts are a really big price here. They're 6-4, and that's because St Mirren are difficult to beat. So this is a little bit of a punt at the big odds, but I think they're a much better team on paper, and they've now got a bit of confidence behind them, especially after that really convincing Edinburgh Derby win. So I'm boosting the odds for the charity treble, taking something that's halfway between evens and 2-1. So let's get this off to a good start with a Hearts victory. Hearts away at St Mirren, 6-4.
I backed Hearts to beat us, and that was part of that bet that Tony Watt undid, but I was confident that it was going to get paid out early, and it very much was. So I think it's good. You're right, St Mirren are hard to beat, though. That's the thing.
Can I ask something about the Scottish League? Do you think it's a good league this season?
No, it's very similar to last year, Jerome. So yeah. Dundee United ended up in Europe last year, but so we play 3 rounds of competitive fixtures, 3 full rounds, yeah. And then the league splits into two. And the top half play their fourth game against each other, and the bottom half play their four games, their fourth and final round against each other. Now, Dundee United, with 1 week to go before the split, I think it was St Mirren, we were losing, we were 1-0 down, and in the live standings, we were 9th in a 12-team league. And we came back and won that game 2-1, and we jumped up to 4th. That was how tight it was. It was stupid. Like, Rangers and Celtic were miles ahead at the top. Hearts were then in 3rd. And then everyone else from 4th to 9th were basically separated by like 3 points. And you're seeing something similar happen this year. Like, Aberdeen, so as I was saying, like they're in 4th. St Mirren, where are they? 5th. But there's nothing between these teams at all. Like you can get one or two victories and catapult yourself up the league.
But historically, I think like Hibs maybe should be a bit higher.
Hibs,
Hearts, Dundee United, they're all teams that in really recent years have been relegated and spent time in the Championship. So the league's a bit of a mess. Obviously, Rangers had some serious trouble as well, and were down there too. So, you know, the leagues that we grew up with in the 90s and early 2000s, the teams that you would expect to be in the top five or six in the SBL have all spent, apart from Celtic, some time down in the Championship and had their own troubles and turmoil. So anyone can really beat anyone if you take out the old firm.
The best league in Scotland at the moment for action and for that is the Scottish Championship, because there's a, like, they've got some serious competition for who's going to get promoted. They're like in the promotion places, there's like 5 points between seven teams. So, and that includes the top of the league as well. So it's a much more interesting league, and it's probably the most competitive it's been in about five or six, because there's no one that got relegated. It's like, fuck, they need to come back up immediately. Yeah. Because obviously Dundee and Hamilton are in that league now, and both are not exactly Premier League quality. There's no one quite Premier League quality, I don't think, yet. So, sorry, Andy, were you going to say something there? Were you going to come in?
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, that's why I like Hearts, the way it's learned here. Everyone can beat everyone, and getting Hearts, but last year, Hearts tend to open up a gap. They tend to be, you take Rangers and Celtic out of it, you then tend to have Hearts pretty much alone in third, and then the rest.
Yeah.
And I think they'll do it again this year. And getting 6-4 away from home at St Mirren, I think it's a good, good price. So, yeah, that's why they're my charity pick this week. I think the odds are really good.
Well, I'll take this in chronological order and my picks to the first pick of mine. So that'll be Sunday at 12:30. And this is Belgium, the Jupiler Pro League. And big shouts out to Joey Slenzak, who just loves this league more than anything. In fact, I mean, maybe it's hockey more, but he does love Genk. So this is Genk at home to Club Bruges. Genk are top of the league at the moment, 7 points clear. Club Bruges are in fourth, 34 points taken. Genk are fantastic at home, 9 games played, 25 points taken. Club Bruges away, not fantastic, 8 games played, 13 points taken. Genk are 11-10 here. And I think 11-10 is a big price for a team. Now, they love scoring in the first half. You want to take a first half goal in this game, 1-3. But charity-wise, I think there's a better price on Genk here to do the business. They had, the only blip for them was right before Christmas, they lost 1-0 to Kortrijk. And it was one of those games where you look at it, Kortrijk scored late on, and there was cards for everyone, and it just turned into an actual fight as opposed to a football match. Club Bruges, you're going to try and play good football. Genk are going to have too much for them. Probably a 2-0 win. 11-10. So, Jerome, I know it's been spoiled already, and we can all talk about Doncaster, but I'd like to hear you talk about Doncaster.
it is Leyton Orient. This is my charity. Leyton Orient at home to Doncaster. Doncaster is a patchy form away from home, concede a lot of goals. Leyton Orient, just everything I look for. Top of the league. Right at home, Doncaster poor away. I feel like Leyton Orient, they're nailed on for promotion, and they'll want to keep the rhythm going. So yeah, I can't see Doncaster getting anything at home. 7-10 for Leyton Orient to win this game at home. They score a lot. It should be an early payout, that one.
That would be the only one that can get an early payout, because. No, actually, Hearts can get an early payout. Gordon, it's just you.
It's just Belgium.
It's just Belgium. They just don't do early payouts.
I wonder if it's a statistical analysis they do of all bets that, like...
Well, it is weird considering how many leagues Bet365 do early payouts on. Loads. Yeah. Like, it's not like, you know, there's only a few, like five or six. They cover so many, but not Belgium. So hopefully that's not an issue. And we can get the charity treble in this week, which is Hearts, Genk and Leyton Orient at combined odds of 7.92-1. So our tenner would turn into £89.25. And hopefully next week, we're announcing what charity that's going to.
I very much look forward to it.
So that is the show for this week. It's been great to be back. If you like the show, do join us on our Facebook group. There's 250 folk in there talking about their favorite bets of the week and just what they're up to gambling wise. Regular listener Michael Stokes, he's been posting his weekly shouts mainly in rugby and tracking his results. He's standing at a very impressive plus 17.5 units since the beginning of this season. So that's really, really good.
It's very good.
Yeah, be impressed. That is, you know, because everything goes up and everything gets tracked. And he's not on all the time. It's a couple of bets a week generally. But plus 17.5 units is very impressive. So well done, Michael. I know that I've been benefiting from some of that as the season's been ongoing. Co-host Joey Slenzak's always on with his daily ice hockey picks. Co-host Dave Greenfield with his horse racing, jumps racing. And regular contributions from the likes of Matt Halsall and Chris Saunders in there as well. So thanks very much, guys. We've got an active group there. Do come in, be a part of it. Absolutely free to join. Get involved. And then also join us on Patreon. Mentioned it earlier. You get access to this show as a video file as soon as we record it. Gordon will get on to uploading our Zoom call. So you get to see us as well as hear us. You don't get the advert in the middle. You get a middle section. Where we talk about some of the picks we looked at that perhaps didn't make the show, but that we still like, and just some other general chit-chat as well. You get all the picks written down in a cheat sheet that's uploaded when the podcast comes out. So you don't have to take notes. You don't have to try and remember which of the bets we mentioned that you like. You've got them all there in a nice handy JPEG format. You also get extra content podcasts as well, and we will be all over the Cheltenham Festival in March, as we are every single year. So that's something to look forward to. Why not join us now? Get in, get used to the Patreon, and get ready for the greatest show on turf, Cheltenham in the second week of, the second week of March. I know myself and Dave Greenfield especially will be absolutely all over that. So
that was I was going to say, that's the first message I received this year, was Dave being like, what are we doing for Cheltenham? It's like, as soon as that clock hit 2023, he was like, it's time to talk about the jumps. I was like, good man.
Absolutely all of it. It's our biggest week of the year.
One when you can buy the sheet and just let you lot do what you're doing?
Yeah, that's it. You basically you go from there. You just let Andy deal with it.
So we'll be all over the Cheltenham Festival as usual. And then we've obviously got the golf majors as well. There's special shows for all of them.
And the World Cup was a Patreon only show
that went out to everyone. But you know, we still, you know, that gave people a flavour of what's normally behind that gated content. So £6 a month. www.patreon.com/trampledbet, or just get the Patreon app. It's a great app on the phone. And then sign up to be a member of the Trampled Bet Club. Get all that stuff there. Gordo, Jerome, it's been an absolute pleasure, gents. Really good to see you.
Thanks for having me back.
Show back. No, great. I'm looking forward to some small odds winners in Tottenham, and then some big odds winners in Sheffield Wednesday.
Let's do it.
All right, that's it. That's the show. Thank you all for listening. Have a great weekend. Happy hunting.
Bye.
The Trampled Bet podcast is produced by Andy Vaughan, Gordon McLarnon, and Gary Black. Part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. Find the next show you'll love at sport-social.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.